portion we have God, right, whom we lost through Adam's fall. And then by partaking of his blood, God becomes our all in all.
Amen.
God's intention in this universe is to be one with man. So much so that he became the God-man, Jesus. Jesus Christ. He was the pattern for us. To show us that God really wants to be one with man. Who's man? We are all men.
Amen.
God wants to become one with me. He wants to become one with you.
Amen.
What a God we have. I'll tie this back into the title, but it's taking Christ as our living for his magnification. Maybe we can read Roman numeral 1, which is just Philippians 1:19 through 21a. Ready, go.
I know that for me, this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
According to my heart, expectation
and hope
that in nothing I will be ashamed. But always, as always, even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen. So, the book of Philippians talks about Paul's experience and enjoyment of Christ. And here, Paul, the verses that we were just reading, he was writing this letter to the believers in Philippi from a prison cell. This is quite amazing because here it doesn't really. If we read through the rest of the book of Philippians, it's a book full of joy and rejoicing, and we kind of wonder how can Paul be such a person? Like, I definitely can't do that. If anything, even smaller, for sure smaller than a Roman prison, I would not rejoice and I would not be full of joy. But here, Paul reveals a secret. And I really appreciate Paul's utterances here. He says, according to my earnest expectation. He was really expecting, like, earnestly, truthfully, like, this would happen. He had, what I hope to give across here is that Paul had such an assurance. There was such a, he knew this would happen, because he would also say, earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I will be put to shame. And then he says, but with boldness? No, he says, but with all boldness.
Amen.
And he also says, as always,
amen,
comma, even now, Christ will be. Paul had such a heart and such a knowledge, a knowing of the Lord, who he is, his very person, what he has done, that he could be so firm to say that even in this Roman prison, even though there's so many things happening, even outside the prison, he was assured that even now, as always, with the earnest expectation and hope that Christ would be magnified in his body. And our feeling was just, Lord Jesus, we want to know you like Paul knew you.
Amen.
To have such an assurance that in everything that we do, it would be a magnification of Christ. So maybe we can move on to Roman 2, and we can read it together. In the apostle's suffering in his body, Christ was magnified. That is, he was shown or declared to be great, without limitation, exalted and extolled. Christ was magnified in Paul's body. There was such a stark contrast between him inside prison versus the other prisoners and even the workers in the prison. I'm sure if you're working in a prison, it would be pretty dingy. It would not be the happiest place on earth. But for Paul, his experience was that this place was the happiest place on earth. Why is that? It's because he had Christ inside of him and he was magnifying Christ. This to him was salvation to him, for him to live Christ, right? In 121, it says, for to me to live is Christ. I feel that utterance is so powerful, for to me, to live is Christ. Is Christ just means that his living is a person. He's just living out this person, Christ. And even in the title it says, taking Christ as our living. What do we do from day to day? Whether we like it or not, whatever we're going through, the fact of the matter is we are just living, right? We are living life. But for Paul, his living wasn't to live out his own person, to magnify who he was or what he did has accomplished, but his magnification was of this person, and this resulted in a living, which is just Christ. Christ being expressed through an earthen vessel, Paul. And point B under 2 says, to magnify Christ under any circumstance, under any circumstances, is to experience him with the topmost enjoyment. I enjoyed this word magnification. I guess I'm trained in psychology. So for magnifying, actually, we don't even have to do like the fancy magnifying instruments, but just a magnifying glass, right? I was considering here, it says, to magnify Christ and under any circumstances is to experience him. So magnifying Christ is experiencing him. What does it mean to experience, or to experience something? For Shiloh to experience Frisbee does not mean he learns everything about Frisbee, but it's actually he handles that disc, the Frisbee, firsthand. That means to experience. It's a personal handling of something. That's what can constitute as experience. Without that, then it's just like hearsay. It's just, I know about something, but there isn't an experience there. So to magnify Christ is to experience him. So then, putting these two together, what does that mean? So let's go to the magnifying glass. If we can all picture, we have a magnifying glass in hand, and if we want to zoom in on something and to see something, well, anyone can point a magnifying glass anywhere, right? But if we want to really zoom in on something, we need a specimen. And this specimen in this verse is Christ himself. So this magnifying glass has to be in the proper position. Like, this magnifying glass needs to be on Christ. This is what Paul's focus was, and this is what he was wrapped up in, and this is what he was handling, was Christ himself. His magnification was just him being fully wrapped up and consumed with the Lord, and wanting to experience the Lord. Like, that was his whole life's purpose, was to live Christ. To live, for him to live was Christ. And so in this way, in our experience, many times we may be, I think just by default, we're magnifying other things, whether it's ourself, the things that we can do, who we are, or even other things that are just not Christ, or maybe it's Christ, but then something else is also inside that frame of the magnifying glass. I realize that many times in my experience, my magnification of Christ doesn't always result in a living, even though I'm trying. Christ isn't so clear inside that magnifying glass yet, because you know, like, things can still be blurry inside a magnifying glass, right? So there even needs to be a proper positioning, a honing in of who this person is. And I feel that our feeling was that we're in this process of learning how to magnify the Lord and to live him out. We're really in an organic process. There'd be less of ourself and more of him. This really comes from one, we thought of the verse Ephesians 1:17. We need to pray. We need to pray that that our Father would grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation at the full knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's because of this knowledge. Later on in Philippians, Paul talks about, he counted all things lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Like, when we know of something that's precious, all our thoughts will be consumed with this thing, this precious thing. Like, all we want to think about is, like, this thing is so precious. All I want to do is just think about this thing. In the same way, Paul knew Christ to an extent. Not even getting to the experiential part, but even just objectively. He knew who Christ was and who Christ could be to him, to the point where it's just, all I want to be doing on this earth and enveloped in is with this, just tied up with this person, Christ. That's why he could count all things as lost. Otherwise, it's very hard to count all things lost if there isn't something more excellent. So, one is we need to pray to our Father to grant us a spirit of wisdom and of wisdom and revelation, that we would know the Lord, even as Paul knew the Lord to such an extent, that we would spontaneously want to live Christ. Our thoughts, our actions, everything would be just done in view of Him, with our hearts just pointed towards Him, wanting to magnify Him, behold and reflect. Then the second part, is the Word. Hallelujah, we have the Bible. Actually, every single time we come to the Bible, we should come to a person to learn more about who this Lord Jesus is. All His promises, His very work, His very person, these are all things that God has given to us, His Son. And He is now the Spirit. So when we learn about the Lord Jesus in the Bible, when we come with this kind of appetite, I want to know more about You, Lord, so I can experience You, just like Paul experienced You. Slowly and surely, Christ will be formed in us, and there will be more of this magnification in our living. Sorry, I think I should end now, but hopefully we can also get to the part of talking about the self. But I hope it would be in maybe a context of maybe I'll just share. Leprosy inside days 5 and 6, leprosy is a result of man's rebellion. And the source of rebellion, all rebellion in this universe, is from Satan. He's the first one to rebel against God. And as a result of this rebellion, actually, it was initiated by Satan, but in effect, he said, I do not want to be one with God. I do not want to be one with His purpose. I don't want to be one with His person. And because Satan, through man's fall, Satan injected his nature into us, even this rebellion into us, there's an element of rebellion that keeps us away from God, that wants to do things outside of God. And that's called the self. The self is us attempting to do things without God. And actually, that magnification would just be of ourself. That's kind of our default of living. But we see God has an economy. And as we started off, is that God wants to be one with man. God wants to be one with this man that fell so far away from God. But that did not stop him. And because our Father is faithful to His economy, He reached out in time. And He, John 17:22, talks about the Lord Jesus was talking about this oneness, that we were called into the oneness of the triune God. Even as God is one, we would also be one with each other. Amen. What kind of our destiny is so wonderful. And our calling is to glory. Sorry, I didn't get into the scripture verses, but He created us, He formed us, even made us for His glory. Glory is the expression of God Himself. And this glory is really because He is one. So the more we magnify Christ, the more we live Christ, the less of ourselves we will live. And in the context of the body, corporately, we can live together the genuine church life, the real church life, the body life, and the one new man. And there will be a corporate expression of God. And there will be a corporate glory to God. So maybe we can transition to, we can have the saints share. Sorry, I took more time, but we can start off with 3 minutes each, starting off.
Philippines is,
hey,
I think many people, like one of their favorites for books. It's very experiential. It's full of, the very topic is the experience and enjoyment of Christ. Chapters, well, I was really struck by two phrases when we were going through this week. One was, for I know that for me this will turn out to salvation. And then the other is, if this to me is fruit for my work. When you get into it, you have to really consider. So the first part is, I think Dan brought out a really good point, which is that we need to realize where Paul was, what he was doing when he wrote this epistle.
Right.
Like this epistle, you don't see an ounce of self-pity or like
right.
sadness or whatever. But he was in a Roman prison, which is probably even worse than American prisons, and I wouldn't want to be in American prisons either. But he said, this will turn out to salvation. And this salvation is not referring to our eternal salvation, because we're already saved. Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because we're forgiven of our sins. This salvation, according to the context of the Bible, is referring to being saved from not magnifying Christ.
Amen.
So basically, the failure of not magnifying Christ.
Amen.
And this salvation is also referred to in Philippians 2:12, where it says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
Amen.
Two verses later, this is very striking, it says, Paul says, do all things without murmuring and reasoning.
Amen.
Like, that sounds like a very difficult command to follow. How do you do anything without murmurings or reasoning? Like, that's my, at least, default reaction to anything negative. Much less, I'm in a Roman prison, I'm being beaten up by these guards, like, whatever, I have no privacy, and I'm just going to murmur and reason. But Paul said, this is what it means to be safe from not magnifying Christ.
Mm.
And not only to not murmur and not reason, but even to rejoice, to be happy, to be joyful. Even to the point, I think in the reading, there was a very striking line where it says that those guards, they must have seen the living of this person, Paul.
Right.
And they must have realized, there was this line that says, they realized he had something that they didn't. And I was so struck by that, because there's no way a human being could live in that situation and be happy and joyful and not complain and murmur, unless, as Dan said, he has something that they don't have. And clearly it had an effect, because at the very end of Philippians, he says,
amen.
All the saints greet you, and especially those of Caesar's household.
Amen.
So, the very person who ended up killing Paul, some people in his family got saved.
Amen.
Because of his influence. So I was just so impressed. But the only way that we could experience this is in the second half of verse 19, which says, through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how we magnify the Lord.
Right.
For us to magnify the Lord means that we're joyful, we praise the Lord in any situation. So, but the only way that can be done is through the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, many times I'm like in a situation that's obviously not nearly as bad as Paul's situation could ever be in basically his whole life. But I'm still, there's a tendency with me like, Lord, why this place? Why this person? Why this whatever? But the Lord reminds me, this is an opportunity for you to magnify me.
Amen.
So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm successful all the time, but every now and then the Lord reminds me,
amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
I'm in this situation. This will turn out to my salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
And then, I'll be real quick. I really love that right after it says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live in the flesh, if this to me is fruit for my work." This is very interesting, because do you think he's working in the prison? Do you think he's serving in a very traditional sense in the prison? But to him, his idea of work is just his living.
Amen.
The way that he lived was just his living. And that's proven by the fact that he used the word fruit, because fruit is something living, something regarding life. So anyways, I feel like one of the big takeaways, at least from the beginning of this message, is that we need to realize that all of our sufferings, all of our difficulties, all the things that we go through are not just roadblocks. They're actually opportunities for us to magnify the Lord, because we already have the bountiful supply of Jesus Christ. And then ultimately, this is our real work. Our real work is not to I mean, obviously, we do need to work, we need to serve, we need to do many outward things. But our main work is just to live, to express the Lord.
Amen.
Just as in the previous verse, for to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
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 Following behind that, I had really enjoyed day 3 and day 6. And so I had just been considering, on day 3, I think we see kind of this magnification of Christ. And there's a portion here that mentions, our love is eventually exhausted, but Christ's love is inexhaustible. Likewise, our natural patience is limited, but Christ has our patience is without limit. We all have the capacity to be patient, but only to a certain extent. And so we're seeing here that in such a negative situation, Paul was still able to have happiness in the Lord, inexhaustible patience. And so it says, by this way, Paul expressed, exhibited, exalted, and extolled Christ. He was a living witness of Christ, testifying of his ability, power, patience, love, and wisdom, all without measure. And by magnifying Christ in this way, Paul could overcome any situation. I think still in reading this, my natural thought had just still been like, oh, then I just have to expand my patience capacity or my love capacity, praying to the Lord so that he can kind of adjust my own, like Minnie's own patience and Minnie's own love. And so in day 6, I had appreciated this portion on the cross and then on shaving of all of the hair. So the top part just mentions the aim of the cross is not suffering, but the termination of the person.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're a bad person or a good person, so to speak. It's just the termination of the person.
Amen.
So we are terminated, but Christ is there.
Yeah.
And then I think in kind of the speaking on the hair, there is a significance of different kinds of hair. So we have the glory of man, the honor of man, the beauty of man, and the natural strength of man. And so I think there's so much that I need to learn that it's not in my natural imagined strength or capacity or zeal. That's not, still not what the Lord is after. Says all of these outward contamination, all these are not outward contaminations but problems of our natural birth. The outward contaminations need only to be washed with water. However, our own natural problems must be shaved with a razor, which means they must be dealt with by the cross. What a testimony that our brother Paul had, where I think just in a human way had so much capacity, so much background, so much pedigree even, so to speak, but none of that was what he boasted in. It was just learning how to deal with that in the cross and to enjoy the Lord in such a way.
Amen.
Yeah, this week was very enjoyable. I feel like, you know, the verse for day 2, Philippians 1:20, really, like, encompassed the burden, which was, it says, my earnest expectation and hope is that in nothing I will be put to shame. But with all boldness, as always, even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. And as we just heard right now, you know, Paul was able to express and magnify Christ even in the lowest point of his life, in prison. And it's just that I feel like, you know, in all the situations we're in, you know, our default state is that we linger in our own feelings, you know. And, you know, in our, whether in the good or in the bad situations, I think it's always, like, we always put Christ, there's always reason to put Christ last. Like, in the bad situations, right, you know, we always try to find a way out of it, right? But, like, our last desire would be Christ himself. We don't think about Christ in that situation. But even when we're in our good situations, we feel good. We don't feel like we need Christ. And even in that, we put Christ last. But, you know, I think in all these situations, you know, we can all see it as a test. You know, are we expressing ourselves, or are we expressing and magnifying Christ? And it's all, I also enjoyed day four. It talks about, like, it said, mentions in the, like, one of the first sentences, many Christians care only for a work. They do not care for Christ. But Paul could speak of fruit for my work, which is mentioned in Philippians 1:22. So that's another way to think of it, right? It's like in the experience we're going through, like, you know, is there fruit in the work or experience, or is there not? Like, if we just go through the experience, like, and we just, even if it's like a bad one, but, and then we successfully get out of it, let's just say, right, but there's no fruit in it, you know, then in the Lord's eyes, it's vanity, it's meaningless. But rather, when we go through the experience, you know, we always should make, you know, be exercise our inner man, you know, and express and even magnify Christ in the lowest point in our life. And I just really enjoy how, like, in every experience, you know, even when you look bad and you're being put to shame, you can choose to live, express, and magnify Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Paul certainly has this deep experience and appreciation of Christ, right? This Philippians 1:19 through 21. This week I was really considering these verses. I think the first time when I read these verses, that was early on during my Christian years, I felt like Paul has really attained to such an extent, right? That he really enjoyed Christ and experienced Christ so much, and somehow, I mean, I feel like, you know, I wish one day I could be like him, but I'm not sure, right? But I feel like, yeah, this is the ministry has really brought us to much deeper into this. You know, if you look at this Philippians 1:19 to 21, first thing that Paul mentioned is that he could be turn out to be for I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So he mentioned the word salvation. That's something that we need to consider, right? We're all Christian. We're all being saved. So today, I mean, the Lord, we have accepted the judicial redemption. And today we're in the process of organic salvation. So what is the organic salvation? What are the aspects that is encompassing the organic salvation? I think we can talk about it a lot, right? We need to be saved from the world. We need to be saved from our sins. We need to be saved from ourselves. But Paul, you know, according to what his experience was, that you need to be saved to express Christ, to magnify Christ. So this needs to be our goal.
Amen.
Right? So we should not just be satisfied with the, you know, I guess the elementary levels of salvation, right? Our God's desire is to really make man the same as he is. Right? So Christ is, of course, our model, right? He's our pattern. So, you know, this really need to be our earnest desire, right? Paul says this is our earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I will be put to shame. You see, his conscience has been so, I would say, what is the right word? His conscience would be like, he would be actually feel ashamed that he's not expressing Christ. Right? Do we actually feel that kind of shame? Probably not, right? Maybe sometime when we're not, like if we're grossly not expressing Christ, then we may actually feel it. But maybe, right? I don't know if you get what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. Our conscience need to be cleansed to such an extent that, like, if we're not magnifying Christ, right? Not just expressing Christ. It's like magnifying Christ, right? Just like Brother shared earlier, you know. So, I mean, a lot of times it's not that, yeah, I mean, we may not be magnifying Christ, right? People won't see Christ in us. They may actually need a magnifying glass to see Christ in us. So, yeah, I feel like, yes, I just felt like this whole thing was just so deep. That's something that, you know, need to really get into our spirit. And first thing, need to get into our conscience. that in our conscience, we need to be sensing that we're not magnifying Christ. This is actually a shame that we really need to turn to the Lord, right?
Amen.
Because this point is very, very important for our Christian living. You know, as Christians, we need to see this matter that Paul is emphasizing. And I was really touching this training. It says, and I'll just read to you, it was a message for, it says, perfected God-men. This is what God desires, perfected God-men, who are genuine men, but they are not living their life, but they are living by the life of the process of consummated triune God. So their attributes, the attributes of the triune God are expressed through their virtues. And this is what all the brothers, Brother Dan, Brother Jerry. That's a black dog. And Brother Mitchell, yeah, emphasizing is, and the sister, that, because this week, saints, I've been going over the verses in Corinthians to, Apostle Paul is really a chosen vessel. Because look at one of the sufferings he went through. In Corinthians chapter 4, he says, we are pressed on every side, but not constricted, unable to find a way out, but not utterly without a way out, persecuted, but not abandoned, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body.
Amen.
And you remember, I think at least one training ago, the blending brother shared, in God's economy, God has given us, in his economy, one way and one person. The one way is the way of the cross. The one person is Christ.
Amen.
So when God sees us, his sons, his children, he wants to see Christ.
Amen.
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 You know, Paul's experience in Philippians actually very much matches our experiences in life. And I would say, a lot of times when we go through different situations, our brother mentioned the prison, you know, we might find ourselves in something similar. I would say maybe there's three different reactions. The first is, get me out of here, right? Why is this happening to me? And aren't you thankful that Paul in Philippians, that's not his prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lord, get me out of this prison. The second is, I really need Christ. I need to experience Christ. I need to magnify Christ. But even that, I would say, you could take that. Because a lot of actually believers are familiar with Philippians 1:19, that through the bountiful supply, right? Through your petition, this will turn out to my salvation. That could be taken in a way that is just individualistic, right? But I'm just so thankful that in this ministry, it opens up, right, Philippians 1 and how it ends, right, that Paul's magnification was not just merely for himself, but eventually it's what? It's for your progress. It's for your joy in the faith. In other words, he realized that all of his experiences, and truly they were hard, difficult, but that was not, he was not just going through that for himself, but so that he could be a channel a supply to the body.
Amen.
Oh, that is such an uplifted view.
Amen.
And I was really helped to see this, that in Zechariah 4, and this is one of the references from this week, that in the picture of the golden lampstand there's these two olive trees right beside it. And then actually these olive trees, their function is to what? Is to produce oil. And we realize that actually for olives to produce oil, you need to go through pressing, right? You need to, there's a process that takes place. And this really, again, matches Paul's experience, right? As he was going through this difficult situation, something was being produced out of his living that eventually
became what a supply of life to others. Amen. And that's why he could testify, right, that there is a fruit, right, of his living, of his work,
right.
That, you know, even though he was confined and limited, something of life was being ministered. So anyways, I think from this week, my prayer is, Lord, make me a channel of life today.
Amen.
Actually, if you got into the life study of Philippians, Brother Lee, he made this claim that even if in one country you could have one channel or two channels of life, there will be what a way for the saints in that country to go on.
Right.
So I just consider, you know, Piscataway, we're not a country, but even in a local church here, if we could just have a few saints who are a channel of supply, maybe even to break it down, what if in the brother's house there's one channel of supply, two, hopefully three, right? In every home, in every group, in every district, if there's some brothers and sisters who would really be there as channels of supply, oh, this would be such a blessing, right, to the church life, to all the saints there. So may we all have this earnest prayer, Lord, make me a channel of supply, not just for myself, but for all the saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This week is remind us to have a genuine church life.
Amen.
To have genuine church life, we need, in this week, it's mentioned that we need to magnify Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is to deal with our flesh.
Right.
To deal with our self. Mm-hmm. Better mention Philippians and Leviticus here. In order to magnify Christ, we need to experience daily salvation. Salvation here is meant, it's referring to be from, to go back to the spirit, not to be in ourselves. In order to experience daily salvation, Brother mentioned here two factors. One is petitions. Petition is mentioned by Brother Shepherd, is really earnest prayer. There is an earnest aspiration in our heart Lord Jesus, to magnify Christ. And the second factor is we have a rich supply. Rich supply from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This one is from our meetings, from gathering with brothers and sisters from the church life, and from our individual living by touching the words of God. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And God is suffering God. In my experience, God planned everything surrounding us to has one purpose, is to perfect us.
Mm.
And when we, when Paul in the prison, there is a difficult situation. And God also will give us different surrounding, different environment. Might be a lot of time for me is difficulty. When in the difficult situation, the first thing in my life is, oh, we'll complain to God. Until one point, we will surrender to God. We cannot do it because it's a difficult situation that we cannot solve it. And at that time, we rely on God. When we rely on God, there is joy, there is a peace in ourselves because we are complaining to God, dealing with God, telling God what is encountering to us, and we know we cannot solve it. And one time, God, let your will be done in my life. And then we will be a joy in our life. And the joy in our living, it's become something strange to the Gentiles, to strange some to the others. And we'll say, what is going on with the brothers or the saints? That will become a track, become magnet to people to come to God. Praise the Lord. Lord is suffering to everything. So we can, one point, we can become experience Him to be everything to us and rely on everything. To kill ourselves. Oh, Lord Jesus, we cannot kill ourselves unless we come to the Word of God. When we enjoy the Word of God, indirectly we will kill ourselves. And at the end, we will magnify Christ and glorifying Christ, not glorifying ourselves for the oneness in the church life.
Amen.
So yeah, so today we talk about the experience of Christ, and you know, I just want to echo our brothers, you know, fellowship to experience something. You need to get hands on something. Yeah, if you talk about something, it's really different from really you do something, right? Like for example, I don't know how experienced. But for me, I knew one of my weakest points is if I didn't get enough sleep, I function really, really poor. People are different. Some people are maybe better. You know, if they get several hours or less, they still function, right? But for me, it's different. So, but I think the Lord brought me, like, I think I got improved. Like, I think this past, you know, several weeks, one time or two times, I didn't get enough sleep. But I didn't just stay there, right? Actually, one morning I was I didn't get good sleep, but by reading some words, I suddenly got energy. I was almost to tell I may take a day off because I really feel tired. But I some you know give me the energy, right? So anyway, so that's just a small testimony, just saying. You know, the Lord works in everybody's life, right? In every situation, we can, by taking God's word or by taking Christ as our energy, we can live with Christ.
Amen.
And also, I also echo Brother Shepherd saying, and also, people are very different. And for me, I can tell you, I was brought up, or I was grown up in a way, I was very, very individualist. So, to a point, I think it's God's mercy, I can even got married, because I was so individualist. And also God's mercy, I even can have 4 children. So with that, and also in the God's mercy, I was put in the church life. So to a point, I need to enjoy Christ by realizing I was a channel. I need brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Without brothers and sisters, I would choking to death because I was just on my own. Whenever I feel I'm so great or so wet, so enjoy something, but I was alone. That was really bad. All I need to do is Christ save me. I'm glad to be a channel only, right? I'm glad to be a one channel in a family only. I need all my family members to function so my family can run. And the church saying, church is a big family. I was only a channel. I would see all the brothers and sisters, they are lovely channels, so we can function. Amen.
Amen.
I was very touched by brothers sisters sharing. And Brother O just mentioned about this week's topic, talking about genuine church life. I was thinking about this. I was asking, is my church life not genuine? I think this is really against our concept because we all feel that, you know, we are in the church life. For all of us, we are here, praise the Lord. Amen. But I think that when Paul, I think brothers mentioned about this, when Paul, he was thinking about whether he should leave or whether he should die. Eventually, Philippians 1:25, he says that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith. And in outline, it says that Paul was living really for the church life, really not for himself, really for the church and for the benefit. Brothers and sisters, and I think Shepherd mentioned about this. You know, for in the message, it talked about strong factors, meaning that, you know, Paul was really a strong factor, so that, you know, he lived for the brothers and sisters, he lived for the church. And then, you know, brothers and sisters, they would grow in life, meaning progress, and they would enjoy the Christ more, meaning joy of faith. And I think that this is really a question to all of us. I think that, you know, now it's a new school year, and also I think that it is also a new beginning of the church life. I feel that I pray before the Lord, you know, I really feel that I'm willing. I'm willing to remain in the church life for brothers and sisters, not for myself. And then we talk about, you know, different church services. And yesterday I just heard that we actually have a great need for young people service and for children service. And I really feel that, you know, sometimes if we just stay at home, we read the Bible, we read the Word, we really enjoy a lot because we don't need to contact anybody, right? So we just, you know, feel that, okay, we have the knowledge, we have to. But then, you know, like yesterday, I served young people. I was really happy. I think it was really happier than I read the Bible by myself. Because I think that, you know, when we shepherd mission about this channel of life, actually it's mutual, right? It's actually not that we are serving someone. It's actually that we serve each other. So we serve young people also serve us. So, you know, if we serve, then we have the opportunity to go to the Lord, to allow the Lord to deal with us, so that we can share with others regarding our experience. So I really hope that, you know, for all of us, we can pray before the Lord to see what the needs are, and then we can, that actually can help us grow in life.
Amen. Amen.
I believe we all want to be able to magnify Christ.
Amen.
We all want to be able to become channel to supply others Christ.
Amen.
And I think this week tell us one thing we need to do for this purpose is we need to take Christ as our living.
Amen.
We need to live Christ in all kinds of circumstances. But this week, one thing touched me a lot is, you know, we also need to deal with the self.
Right.
Without dealing with ourselves, we can have this expectation, but something, we ourselves will become the hindrance to block the supply of Jesus or Christ to flowing from us, become a supplying channel. And I believe not only I believe for us a little bit older, you know, we realize ourselves is very hard to deal with. Getting older and older, yourself is just really an old man. Yes. But we have hope. Whenever we are willing to leave Christ, turn to Him, and open to Him, the Lord still gives us chance to work to us. And that kind of experience is actually very sweet and marvelous. When we hear about deny ourselves or lose our soul life, it sounds like it's very terrible. Maybe younger said you feel, it's tough to lose ourselves, our soul life, to deny ourselves. But in experience, we have to say, whenever we deny ourselves, it's very, very sweet and supplying experience that we first experience Christ. So the Lord tells us, whoever wants to save himself, he will save his soul life, he will lose it. But whoever willing to lose his soul life, he will find it. And so this week, these two aspects both touch me a lot. On one hand, want to magnify Christ, right? And you see, Paul's in prison. He didn't want to. He didn't pray for himself to be released from that situation. But on the other hand, we ourselves, we all in another kind of prison. That's ourselves, right. And we really need to pray. We can be released from ourselves. We need to be broken, amen, so we can be the channel to supply the oil, the life to His body. And for the purpose, we will have oneness in the in God's glory, amen, in the genuine church life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
To have a quite a prayer burden. I've been working on fulfilling this prophecy by fulfilling the role of a couple of characters, and one of the characters has to come out of the Jewish people, so. In order to fulfill the prophecy, I need to convert to Judaism. And they take it really seriously, and it's really hard to, they try to make it really hard to convert. So if they find out that I'm coming to the church meetings, it may be a major hindrance on being officially accepted by the people and fulfilling the prophecy. So far, there have been many signs that lead me to believe that this prophecy is being fulfilled. There's the prayer burden of making sure that there's no anti-Jew when after I make this conversion, that I'll still be accepted here. I think Jesus foretold he he knew and spoke about his death before the Jews condemned him, really. So it was all part of his plan so that he could be the last and final human sacrifice. So we wouldn't have to keep sacrificing animals, and we could all lay our sins upon him and be free of sin. I think this is a great opportunity to bury the Antichrist in all Jew, and so they all accept Christ once and for all in an open way at the end of these 7 years. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Great. So maybe I will just conclude this prophesied meeting from this week. I really enjoy Sam's sharing. Specifically, I think I was during my fellowship with Dan. I really enjoyed two words we come up with. One is focus. Then is magnify. Dan used the illustration like the magnify glass. We all kind of study biology. When I think about magnifying, there's some meaning why it needs to be magnified. Because God is an invisible God. And for the unbelievers, they couldn't see them. They couldn't see God. So someone needs to magnify that to them so that they can see it. That's going to be us, the chosen people. When Lord Jesus on the earth, there's so many followers. They visit, they can physically see, oh, this is the Son of God, this is God. But today, where those unbelievers can see God is through us. So there's a need for God. That's our chosen people to magnify Him. But how to magnify Him is, I think, I also echo Sister Ping's question. The words that genuine church life, how to magnify Christ, I think is through the genuine church life. Because today is not God Himself. Today is a church life. It's a group of people. And I was touched by the word genuine. It means there's something fake or something not genuine. I don't know about the sense, I also ask myself, am I spending the time in the genuine church life, or actually I just spend time in a so-called church life, right? Only the genuine church life can magnify Christ. And all this message is for this purpose, that we can live out this genuine church life.
Amen.
So I think from the message, there are two aspects. One is positive, one is negative. Positive part, talking about living, are living for magnified in Christ. And the negative part, talking about dealing of ourselves. I feel like in Paul's, this message to me is very applicable. Why I say that? It's because there's something we can check ourselves. According to Paul, his living or his writing, brother also mentioned that there's one word very striking. It's the rejoicing or rejoice. Right, that kind of like a check mark for me. Am I magnifying Christ or am I rejoice? I think I personally believe like you cannot write something or tell somebody to be rejoiced if you are not rejoicing people. So consider Paul's situation. He can write. I counted roughly. There were 12 times he write joy or rejoicing to Philippians. So, in his deep sense, he's a rejoicing person. You know, but am I rejoicing? I think most of the time, no. That tells me that I'm actually not magnifying Christ. When I feel like, oh, I'm not rejoicing, I know I'm not magnifying Christ. Without murmuring or reasoning, if I'm murmuring and reasoning, I know I'm not magnifying Christ. That's the time I need to turn to the Lord. That's the time I actually need to terminate myself, stop thinking about myself, and turn to Him. Then
I feel like to magnify in Christ, it's actually, sometimes we think it's hard, but I feel like I was enlightened that it's not that hard. It just leave another person. Forget about yourself. Turn to another person. Actually, you know, in our spirit, it's the person.
Amen.
Last week, the message talking about the person, right? We take him as our person. I don't know about you, Sans. Sometimes I feel like if I lay hold in myself, right, I just try to fulfill something myself or try to gain something myself, I could be very, very struggling. But sometimes I just put myself out or just turn to this very person,
right,
like our brother O shared. Automatically, your anxiety, your depressed, or those things is gone. Something, I don't know, you can call it miracular, or like something in your deep being, you just feel rejoice.
Amen.
It's because this person.
Amen.
This person is so real, is in our spirit, and as long as we turn to this person, then you will be rejoiced. You will terminate yourself also effortlessly.
Amen.
Those two things happen together.
Amen.
So this is so applicable to me. This message tells me that I can practice this every day.
And
this, the goal, and this will issue a genuine church life.
Amen.
Last point I want to share is that the leper and you know, this thing comes back all the time. We don't need to actually feel frustrated if we fail today, because you know, in the message, it used shave your braid, all the hairs and your beard, right? I have to shave my beard every day, otherwise my beard just come out a little bit every day. It's every day, even every moment, probably. Maybe after sharing this message, I will, you know, when I talk with my daughter, and then I myself will also come back. So I have to consistently turn to my spirit,
right,
turn to the Lord.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Just practice my spirit, exercise my spirit, and turn to this person so that I can put myself aside. I can shave my beard so that I can live in the spirit. The real genuine church life is in the spirit. So hopefully we'll, you know, pray that we could see the excellency of Christ, the knowledge of Christ, so that we'll focus on the excellency of Christ.
Amen.
Other than that, we just put them on aside, or we don't even need to think about it. We just focus on Christ. Brother used the illustration, I used the magnify glass, right? If you don't focus, actually, it's very subtle. You have to change the focus to really focus on some object or very small object.
Yeah.
So many things can distract us, even the good thing, right? To be a good brother, or maybe, I don't know, after prophesy, I will sit down, I will think, oh, am I saying the right thing? Right? That thing can distract me from Christ.
Right.
I have to realign myself to Christ, no matter what I spoke. Sorry, Lord, you have your authority, and I just want to enjoy you at this moment.
Amen.
We don't want to be distracted.
Amen.
We just want to focus on Christ.
Amen.
And we want to magnify Christ in our daily living.
Amen.
Bible reveals God has a plan.
Amen.
God has an economy.
Right.
And that economy, Christ is the center, focus. The topic that we are in, the subject is knowing, experience, living this all-inclusive cry for the genuine church life.
Amen.
We must know first. Knowing brings us to experiencing.
Amen.
And our experience brings us to living.
Amen.
This week and last week are paired. Talking about taking Christ as our person. This week, talking about taking Christ as our living.
Amen.
Without taking Christ as our person, we have no way to taking Christ as our living, for living Him and magnifying Him. There are three types of Christian in God's eye. One type is called asking God to bless us. It's like the genie, we treat God as genie in the lamp. Whenever we have a need, we call on Him, and God came out. What can I do for you? I need car, I need job, I need house, I need all sorts of things. They are second type of a Christian. They are pursuing life. They're pursuing holiness. They're pursuing spiritualness. They're even pursuing crucifixion. However, they are not God's optimal designed group of people. They are third type of Christian called taking Christ or taking God as his person. And we, I believe, we desire to take Christ as our person, right?
Amen.
But I would like to ask all of us, how can we take Christ as our person? What is that real way to take Christ as our person? We must realize Christ is embodiment in his word. If we don't take word into our person, into our being, you have no way to taking Christ as your person.
Right.
Hebrews 4:12, I believe all of us familiar with that verse, right? That he said, for God's word is living, operative, and what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. For what purpose of living word is to piercing, is to dividing, and also is for us, the most important, for discerning what is our thought and what's our intention. If we are not experiencing the God's word in this way, our soul entangled with our spirit, we cannot take Christ as our person. Saints, remember that. Taking the same life and taking the same person, they cannot be have two lives. Cannot be have two persons.
Right.
Our person is in our soul. Our real person of Lord is in our spirit. Our soul and spirit must be divided. Therefore, you have to check yourself. How much time you really enjoy the word. How you enjoy it. As we know, we need to pray, read the word, right? You and I must pray, read the word to such extent you realize your soul and your spirit separate. Remember that God just wants Christ. He doesn't want anything. So as we taking Christ as our person, then we have to move on to see that God's desire is to live, magnify Christ.
Amen.
In what way? In every aspect of our living. In your personal living, in your family living, in your church life living. Do people see Christ? Or just see you as a
right.
As an outside person. You have to know that verse quoted in Philippians 1:19-21. Paul said, to live is Christ. What does that mean? That means when people see Paul, they see Christ.
Right.
Who is Christ? It's supposedly within the Paul, right? How he magnified? In his suffering. I can tell you, saints, today, in same principle, we are in prison in ourselves, in our body, and even in our soul, in our mind, sometimes even in our spirit, we are in prison. But that is the opportunity for you and me to what? To live and to magnify Christ. If we don't live and magnify Christ, then we miss the mark. Then God, as far as God's concerned, His goal on us cannot be achieved in this age. And when we run out of time in this age, He will put us through this coming age to continue this work. That's why we keep saying, saints, we must grow into Christ. Amen. Grow from the first type of Christian to the second type of Christian and to the third type of Christian, taking Christ as our person. This is our vision. Amen. And this should be our focus. Do not be distracted. May the Lord bless us.
Amen. Amen.
Saints, can we sing hymn 499, stanza 2 and 3? 499.